primary care and preventive medicine physician, speaking on behalf of New York Doctors Coalition and more than 100 health organizations, physicians, trainees, and health workers who signed a letter imploring Mayor Adams, Governor Hochul, and Department of Homeless Services Commissioner Jenkins to prioritize safe and dignified housing over sweeping our homelessness crisis under the rug. There were 48,900 New Yorkers sleeping in shelters this weekend, but thousands of our neighbors, a population we only estimate, were unhoused and surviving the dangerous heat outside of the shelter system. Some New Yorkers feel unsafe when they see a person who is living unhoused. But as health professionals, we know that our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness are the New Yorkers who are at higher risk of violent crime and worse due to the dehumanizing and harmful policies of the mayor and governor. As rents continue to rise and emergency shelter becomes increasingly scarce, our city and state must not respond with increasing policing of people who find themselves sleeping on the subway or in a tent. Criminalizing people who are experiencing homelessness increases harm, but not a tool of public health and safety. Data clearly shows that sweeps are not a remedy for homelessness. In the hundreds of sweeps carried out in New York City in the spring, only 14% of the people who were displaced accessed temporary housing. Instead, sweeps place people in increased risk of poor health outcomes through environmental exposure and loss of essential medications and health documents, increasing the risk of acute health crises and forcing people to cycle through our already overwhelmed emergency departments. This morning, we will hear from physicians, trainees, and people who have been directly affected by housing policy in New York, who will dispel the myth that people experiencing homelessness make other New Yorkers unsafe. Instead, they will highlight the real danger to public health and safety.
Stop the sweeps!
A true solution to homelessness requires dedicated expansion of services for supportive housing and legislative action to expand both keeping people housed and create pathways into safe and affordable housing. With that, I introduce our first speaker, Dr. Galit Fanoni, who's a primary care physician in the Bronx.
Woo! Woo!
Pardon me. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Galit Fanoni. I'm in the Bronx. And I've worked with the homeless outreach team, and I've visited encampments with the team. And I met women, a woman and man who I thought were brothers and sisters because of the way they seemed to be together. And then the option of the family had disowned him, and the other woman was escaping intimate partner violence. They met each other in the encampment and formed a new community of support within that encampment. They told me that after all they have lost, they were grateful to have found each other, and that their relationship has given them the strength to face the rest of the experience. I had another patient who I see in clinic who went to middle school, high school, and got her first job, all while living in a tent on the street. She said she didn't feel safe in the shelter at the teen. She often experienced sweeps and had her possessions taken away by a sweep. Being uprooted constantly made her feel unsafe and never secure. Encampment sweeps disrupt the community that forms within the encampment and disrupts the way people engage with supportive services and outreach. In California study, they showed that people who inject drugs showed that encampment sweeps and relocation led to lower rates of engagement in substance use treatment programs, along with higher rates of overdose and syringe deaths. These sweeps are invasive and dehumanized. They take away personal property, including phones, which are a means of communication. The sweeps take away lockers, impairing the person's ability to be mobile. Take away blankets and warm clothes to keep people living on the streets without permanent shelter, warm and safe. The sweeps take away government IDs that prevent people from gaining employment and access to housing and other services, including being able to vote. The sweeps take away personal items like the sentimental value, like family photos. heart failure, HIV, TB, and infections that require antibiotic treatment. This week can lead to more hospitalizations and worse health outcomes for people experiencing homelessness. It's clear to me as a physician that the sweeps cause undue stress, negatively impact mental and physical health, and threaten the overall well-being of those experiencing homelessness. The sweeps are unethical and destructive, destroying people's possessions, stabilizing communities, ignoring and harming how people engage with social services. The city should focus their efforts on increasing supportive services, doing permanent housing, and ways to positively engage with the community, rather than using resources to destroy livelihoods and criminalize those who are
Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Benoni. Next, we will hear from Mr. Peter Melvin of the Urban Justice Center.
All right,
Peter, okay.
Hello. I just got introduced to Peter Melvin from the Urban Justice Center. And I have a history on the street myself. As an impacted person, I spent 32 years on the street. I work in job and volunteer and pre-pandemic.
Anybody who's homeless or be homeless or not?
But when the pandemic hit, even I went in and I was a very stubborn person.
Okay.
The last administration of New York City imposed more VHS cleanup than has been done in the history of VHS. I've worked in outreach basically all my career. And whenever VHS cleanups are done, what happens is the people who are on the street who are being engaged by outreach lose all their trust in outreach.
Come on, get them on TV. I want them to see you on TV.
The police, the homeless people on the street, who are citizens of our fair city, afraid to go to the police when something goes wrong. When VHS cleanups happen, people lose all their belongings. Sometimes they're not there, and all their belongings are dumped in the garbage truck. When they're there, the police presence keeps them from protesting to keep what they have. During sweeps, people's belongings are considered garbage. They are actually labeled as garbage and disposed of, and it can be medicine. It can be your birth certificate. It can be your social security card. It can be an award letter. Now, a lot of times people work with outreach in order to get these documents, but when the sweep happened, the people who had these documents and their medicine and all the essentials they need to live lose them, and they also lose any trust with police, sanitation, any services being supposedly presented to them. We call on New York City, New York State, and the U.S. government to actually provide housing, not only supportive housing, because there's a lot of people who won't take supportive housing because they have a history of being congregate. New York City has actually closed a bunch of single room hotel shelters, and people summarily have gone back to the street rather than going to congregate shelter where they have to fear for their lives, not only from violence, not only from death, but they have to fear their lives because we have a pandemic and a coming epidemic. So I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Melvin.
Thank you. I don't like doing this.
And thank you for highlighting the demands that we included in our letter, signed by over 100 health organizations, physicians, trainees, and other health workers. And thanks to the powerful advocates who have signed onto this letter, our demands include transparent release of data on the impact of sleep, including shelter capacity, arrest rates, linkage to services, and referral for emergency health care. The second demand is expedited creation of affordable and supportive housing through the Housing Our Neighbors with Dignity Act, HONDA. The third demand is adequate funding for supportive housing services to allow expansion of the number of available units. Additionally, we demand increased funding and staffing for inpatient psychiatric facilities to better serve people experiencing homelessness. Expansion of case management in the shelter system to facilitate pathways to housing. Alternatives to congregate shelter to allow for safe isolation and quarantine in the setting of COVID-19 risk and exposure. And passage of legislation to improve housing vouchers and prevent eviction to help those at risk of eviction stay in their homes and prioritize housing first. Next, we will hear from Dr. Oni Blackstock.
Woo! Right.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dr. Kalash. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Dr. Oni Blackstock, and I'm founder and executive director of Health Justice, the Racial and Health Advocacy Consulting Firm here in New York. I'm also a primary care doctor and a HIV doctor, and I've had many patients who experience homelessness, including living on the street. This administration says its goal is to put New Yorkers on a path to permanent housing and stability. They have couched this goal in a plan to improve, quote unquote, public safety. However, street encampments go far away from that goal. Cheap to stabilize the lives of people who are homeless, harming their health and well-being. Cheap are leading to, are not leading to the stability or safe, accessible, and permanent housing that their neighbors can claim to be a goal. Like my colleagues have said, during sleep, critically important medications are often thrown out. Medications that people need in literally decades of the day, such as psychiatric medications, medication-assisted treatment for opioid use disorder. If people are unable to take medication for their chronic medical and psychiatric conditions, these conditions most certainly will worsen. For instance, lots of medication-assisted treatment can lead to withdrawal and increased substance use, raising the risk of overdose or exposure to HIV or hepatitis C. Having one's medications thrown out leads inevitably to emergency department visits and hospitalizations. Sleeps also make it harder for people who are homeless to connect with their healthcare providers. Because important items, as my colleague said, are destroyed in sleeps, phones, appointment reminder cards. They also make it more likely people will miss future appointments because they fear leaving their encampment site because their items could be destroyed in yet another. Also, many people who are homeless are often disabled. As Dr. Benoni said, require walkers, wheelchairs, canes to get around. These have also been thrown out or destroyed during sleep. It can take weeks and even months to get these medications and assistive devices replaced. The psychological stress of sleep can be destabilizing. They increase stress, anxiety, depressive symptoms. It is inhumane to give someone 24 hours notice that the place they are living will be destroyed. They sleep further compound the trauma that people who are homeless and living on the street have already faced. An involvement of the NYPD is increasing the risk of harm of these people and homeless persons. They also shuffle people to new locations which can be hazardous, isolated, less visible, places where it's harder for outreach workers and healthcare providers to reach them. The current status quo is clearly not working. Many people who are homeless and living on the street have tried the shelter system, especially congregate shelters. I know from my own experience, my patients who are living in shelters right now do not feel safe and their needs are not being met. Why are we sending people back somewhere where they feel unsafe and where their needs go unmet? Congregate settings also ramp up the risk of getting COVID-19, especially BA5, the hypertransmissible variant that we're currently experiencing. And now we're dealing with monkeypox, the monkeypox public health emergency, which could potentially spread easily in these settings. Even if getting folks into shelters were a reasonable measure of success, these efforts are failing. As Dr. Kalash said, a very small proportion of people have actually taken the city up on its offer, housing in the shelter system. Many people remain unhoused, and there are currently not enough safe haven stabilization beds and few permanent housing options. We are in the midst of a housing and mental health crisis. This administration should be focused on permanent housing solutions and ensuring that people experiencing homelessness get the health and social services that they need. Housing is a prescription for health.
Housing is a prescription for health.
We need policies that support the health and safety of people who are homeless instead of policies that increase policing and criminalize poverty. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Woo. Thank you, Dr. Blackstock. We have two more speakers. Our next speaker is Mr. Orlando.
Good morning. I'm a citizen of the Bronx right now, but I'm trying to get affordable housing. It's getting up and down bad just because I put my landlord, I was stable, everything was all right. I fell down the stairs, I did my landlord a lawsuit, and he evicted me. Nobody wants to hear nothing. They just most trusty is do it yourself. Listen, I'm not like I went to see my psychiatrist 2 days ago and she tells me, you don't need no medication. You know, you don't need them. But yet I've been taking them 10 years. You gave them to me. You know, why you give me something that you say is gonna help me and then you fast forward, you're not giving me the help I need. You know, we need to get these homeless, crime. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in this city. I'm not God, I don't know what's gonna happen, but I came here 50 years ago and it was not like this. It was not like this. My mother had 3 jobs. My father had a business.
Have you ever been affected by one of the streets?
Yeah.
What was that experience like, if you don't mind sharing? What was that like, if you don't mind sharing? Can you tell us of the streets? Have you ever been one of the streets?
Oh, yeah. You can't even... I see my mother. Let me give you an example. I want to say hi to her. I can't even get out of my mother. There's a guy spider on my face. Other day, 2 days ago, let me see your ID. I don't see your ID. I'm out of that life. I want to live a great life. You know, and I'm trying my best to get out of here.
Do you think that people have unfair opinions about folks that are going through similar situations?
A lot of people just give up. They don't want to turn down, they give up. Or everywhere they go is no, not that. Call this number, go to this person. Some people need that.
It's a lot harder.
At one time I needed it. And my mind, I was in Skype wars and everything. But thanks to the grace of God, I'm here and I'm going forward. I'm not going back. I'm trying to do the best I can. So maybe whoever can help, man, give us some help. Psychiatric, housing, a lot of things. And together, I think we could accomplish something.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Orlando. We have one more speaker.
John,
one more speaker, John.
Jenny!
Yes.
All right, come on up.
Yeah, the streets are very traumatizing to homeless people. They throw out all their stuff. They threaten them with arrest and violence. I myself have been a victim of that many times. I've been arrested 5 times, but many more times than that. Have been stolen my stuff, thrown it out, and people living around me. I've seen that many others. So you know, you have traumatized people dealing with mental health issues, substance abuse issues, all sorts of stuff living on the street. And then you come and you attack them like that. You know, you try to force them into these abusive environments, safe havens and shelters. BRC is a safe haven. It has like 18 people to a room. You know, it's sitting 6 inches away from you. Most safe haven beds aren't single beds. That's in a small minority, even double. So they're putting people in dorms all over the place. They're calling it a different name. And it's the same tyranny from the state against homeless people. They got like 42,000 low-income apartments that they're not letting people get. So, you know.
That's not right.
That's not right. Give up those empty apartments that they're always supposed to give up. You know, it's like 42,000 vacant low-income housing. You know, that landlords are withholding from low-income people, poor people in the shelter in Denver. And because there's around 60,000 people in the shelter, 18,000 children, it ends up you only need like 42,000, the exact number, to like empty out the shelters. So everybody in the shelter, they're in the shelter because a rich landlord don't want to give up that empty apartment that's already designated for low-income housing. So, yeah, people need to wake up and, you know, do whatever they can to stop it. Thank you.
All right, John.
All right.
Thank you so much. That was so powerful. All right. So we'll close out. I want to thank Open Hearts Initiative for and partners for organizing this Homeless Rights Month. And I want to say that we fully support the demands of Homeless Rights Month, including immediate stops this week, expedited pathways to housing, and access to sufficient shelter as an alternative if necessary. Additionally, today we are demanding the release of data on how many people stay in and access services.
The release of data on how many people access services
from this week. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so any questions? Any other questions? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. No, we got to get it to my guy right here. He called.